Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth wonders, what gifts are we missing out on because we've neglected to talk with our Heavenly Father?
I'd hate to get to heaven and have Him say, I would have done all this if you just asked me. So I want to be asking.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Friday, September 2nd, 2016. We have been in the middle of an in-depth series on the Lord's Prayer. We'll return to that series Monday, but we're pausing to celebrate because tomorrow marks a big milestone for Revive Our Hearts. It was 15 years ago tomorrow, September 3rd, that the program went on the air for the first time.
I read some of these accounts about the great awakenings in our nation's history and how the fear of God and the power of God had come in a great way upon His people and impacted an entire culture. I can remember reading all.
And over these years, the Lord has been using the program to encourage women everywhere to find greater freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. Like a pastor's wife in the Washington, D.C. area.
When Revive Our Hearts first started, I was in a place where I had been longing for older women to disciple and mentor me. I had asked some women to mentor and disciple me, and they didn't feel like they were able to do it at the time. So just at a loss for having someone to help teach me God's word and to grow as a wife and as a mom. So I was a young wife and had a baby girl at the time. And a new Christian. And so the Lord used Revive Our Hearts just to mentor and disciple me. And I tell people even now that, you know, when they ask about mentoring and discipleship, who disciple you? I tell them Nancy.
Wow, I'm so thankful to hear from sweet friends like Christy and so grateful to the Lord for showing His amazing faithfulness to us during all these 15 years of ministry. Hardly seems possible, but what a joy to celebrate all the Lord has done over these years. A little later on the program, we'll hear from Bob Lapine about the early days of Revive Our Hearts, and I'll tell you some of what I needed to learn about becoming more teachable and humble in those early days. First, though, we'll get back to a message we started yesterday called 10 Marks of Ministry. These are 10 characteristics that I want to be true of Revive Our Hearts. And these are 10 marks that I want to be true of your life and each of our lives as we walk with the Lord and serve Him wherever He may have placed us. The first 5 marks of ministry that we explored yesterday were word-driven, Christ-centered, gospel-drenched, spirit-empowered, and personally modeled. I share the next 5 marks of ministry with some friends of Revive Our Hearts. Let's listen.
Number 6, love motivated. Struck me again reading through the Gospels over these last couple of weeks. The compassion of Christ. I have a confession to make. I basically don't like people. You're supposed to laugh. But there's more truth to that than I would like to admit. I am a very selfish, private, introverted woman. I would love to serve the Lord. My ideal setting would be in an uninhabited region of the world. I just feel like ministry would be so much easier if it weren't for people. This is like at my really very human, basest self here. When I see multitudes, I don't think of compassion. I think of stress and strain and weariness and work and effort and having to give when you want to be given to. And being in this kind of ministry constantly tests what my heart and motives are. And then when I go to 1 Corinthians 13 and I realize that though I could speak with angel-winged words and have these amazing gifts and abilities and opportunities, but if I don't have love, it's a cipher, great big zero. And I just find myself wondering at times in that day, the great day, when it all comes out, when hearts are revealed, how much of my ministry is going up in smoke, wood, hay, stubble, maybe because I was putting truth on people that I didn't really love. And I find myself sometimes just I'm just telling you the truth. I have developed some avoidance mechanisms to not have to engage when I'm feeling drained. I'm not proud of that. I'm just being honest. And I also know, honestly, what it is to stand in line with some of those women and be thinking about 600 other things while I'm looking them in the eyes and say, really, yeah, you know, and feigning greater interest and compassion than what's really in my heart. Now, God's growing me in this, and the part of the way he's growing me in this is that he puts me out with people and forces me to get out of my cave and out of myself, and then I find I get so blessed because God ministers grace to me through people. God is doing a work of grace in my heart, and I say, Lord, I don't have the kind of love that you do for these women, but you have love, so come and fill me, and you love them through me. And by the way, that's the only way a marriage can work. It's the only way parenting can work. So love, and that's what I want for my life and for our ministry. Number 7, servant-hearted. Paul says, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God, servant-hearted. Number 8, prayer-saturated, just always expressing a humble dependence on God and recognizing that apart from him, we can do nothing. I will tell you that of these 10, this is probably the hardest for me personally, the weakest area of my life. But I will also say of the 10, it's one of the strongest of the Revive Our Hearts team. It's a praying team, and I have been so challenged by their lives that I just know as we're moving into this movement that one of the things I'm asking is, Lord, make me more a woman of prayer. I started to think about what might God want to do in the days ahead. I'd hate to get to heaven and have him say, I would have done all this if you just asked me. So I want to be asking. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. John Newton, I think, is the one who said that. Number 9, faith-based. I don't want a ministry or a life that can be explained in terms of staff, resources, effort, opportunities. You know, one of the things when we started radio that first of all, I was not a media consumer. We grew up at home with no television. I think we had a radio. I'm pretty sure we did, but we never listened to it. I was not a Christian radio listener. I wasn't a secular radio listener. I just wasn't a radio listener at all. But I knew there were a lot of programs out there. And my thinking was, you know, if people would just obey a fraction of the truth they already know, we'd probably be in the throes of revival. We don't need one more program. We do not need more books. The world does not need my books or my radio program. And I knew that, and I didn't want to just add to the din that was already out there. So one of the things I prayed as our ministry began is, Lord, if you're calling me into this, would you mark it with the supernatural? Would you arrest people as they're listening? Stop them. And all the letters we've had over the years, we heard it once last night, of people having to pull their car over to the side of the road because they were crying so hard in repentance. A woman falling to her knees in her kitchen as she's listening to the program because I'm talking about the tongue and how we pull people down with it. And she had just been ugly with her husband that morning. She's repenting. She's on the phone calling him and saying, I'm so sorry. You know, just seeing the Holy Spirit of God activate the truth in people's hearts. I said, Lord, that's what I want. It was said of Samuel at the end of 1 Samuel 2, the beginning of 1 Samuel 3, that the Lord's word came to Samuel. He spoke the word to the people. And then it says, not a word that he spoke fell to the ground. And we prayed early on, Lord, if you're going to have us do 260 programs a year and write a book a year, and please don't let a word fall to the ground, but let it wing its way into hearts and accomplish the purpose for which you're sending it forth. Because really, if it's not going to be a ministry that is explained only in terms of God, then I don't want to sound wrong in saying this, but to me, I'm not sure I could feel it was worth what it takes to make it happen. I really don't care about being an author or a public person. I never wanted to be a public person. I'm a private person. I don't want to be a public person. And so the toll of some of these things on me. I don't just come up and spit out content. I labor over this stuff. Now, that's sanctifying for me, so I'm not complaining about that. It's a really good thing for me. But if God's not going to be all over it, then do I have to go through this, you know? I want a faith-based life and ministry, one that pleases God. Luke 1, that whole exchange Mary has with the angel who says, you're going to, you know, this 14-year-old girl, early teen, you're going to have a baby. It's going to be the Son of God. I mean, the whole thing. So just utterly impossible, right? And that's what Mary says. How can this be? As I've said, I've had this conversation with the Lord numerous times. How can this be? I can't do this. I don't have these abilities. And the angel says to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And Mary believes God. And when she comes to Elizabeth, who past childbearing years is expecting John the Baptist, a miracle of its own, Elizabeth greets Mary and says, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Mm. That's the kind of faith I want to have for my own life and for our ministry. I got to tell you number 10. Well, I said there was one that was the hardest for me. This would be the other one. And that is joy exuding. Joy exuding. Serve the Lord with gladness. I saw a tweet the other day from John Piper. I can't quote it exactly, but the gist of it was that at the root of almost all of his besetting sins was despondency. And then he had it wasn't a tweet, it was a blog post. And then he went on to explain how God has helped him deal with that. And I read just that one line, and I said, that is me. I have a bent toward despondency. And I don't mean to say all-out depression. I'm just saying a bent toward being more negative, being not so upbeat. And my first response, my first natural response to almost anything is like, why it can't work. Now, God's grown me a lot in this, but joy is not my natural reflex reaction to life. And it's not natural. It's a fruit of the Spirit. That's why we got to get filled with the Spirit. And to realize that if we don't serve the Lord with gladness, that maybe the service isn't even pleasing to Him. About, I think it was 6 years ago, Bob, you sent me an email that I'm going to quote here in just a moment. He was quoting somebody else, I mean, sending me a quote from somebody else. And I have sent that email back to myself scores of times over the last 6 years. In fact, I send it back to myself every time I know that I've got a weekend like this coming up, a speaking, or something where I know I'm going to be pressured and there's going to be a lot going on, to remind me to serve the Lord with gladness. So that email has gotten a lot of mileage. It's still getting mileage. And it comes from C.J. Mahaney. Some of you know with Sovereign Grace Ministries. C.J. Mahaney said, I just now glanced at a Spurgeon quote displayed on my desk. It's a daily reminder about the importance and priority of joy. And here's the Charles Spurgeon quote. Labor is easy to those of a cheerful spirit. Success waits on cheerfulness. The ones who work while rejoicing in God and believing with all their hearts have success guaranteed. And then Pastor Mahaney went on to say about that concept. He said, my challenge each day is not so much working hard, but cheerfully working hard. If I understand Scripture accurately, I will not glorify God simply by working hard. To truly bring Him honor, I must labor with a cheerful spirit. Therefore, I must not only serve my family each day, but I must serve them with joy. I must not only prepare a sermon, I must do it cheerfully. I must not only labor faithfully in the church, I must do so happily. And could I just say, so the conviction spreads around a little bit more than just those of us who proclaim the word? You might say, I must not only mother these kids or school these kids or go to this job that is not my favorite kind of work or whatever and do it faithfully, I must do it joyfully, serving the Lord with gladness. He says, merely working hard is not sufficient. It must be done with gladness. It is for my good and His glory that God has given this sweet command, serve the Lord with gladness. That's not reflexive for me, but God keeps calling me back to that. I don't want women to look at my life, and you don't want them to look at your life and say, serving the Lord is really hard. I don't think I want to do that. look at all the pressure, look at all the problems, look at all the challenges. And I think if people were to be in my study with me sometimes and know what's going on in my heart, they would think, I'm not sure I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord in such a way that those coming after would say, that you would say, that others would say, there is no greater privilege, no higher calling, no greater joy than to be a servant, a slave, a bondservant of the Lord. There is weeping involved. Weeping sometimes endures for a night, and that night can be long and dark, but joy does come in the morning. And the scripture promises in the Psalms that those who go out sowing precious seed, weeping, will come again with rejoicing, bringing the fruit and the harvest with them. Oh, Father, how I pray that just over these few moments, I know you've spoken to my heart. And in moments like this, I am preaching to myself mostly. So thank you for the privilege of rehearsing what I want to be the core values of my own life and of this ministry. But I pray for my brothers and sisters here that these would be marks of their lives as well. And that we would reflect the gospel, the heart, the spirit, the grace, the power, the love, the joy of Christ our Savior. For his sake, we pray it. Amen.
That's Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth on 10 characteristics she prays are true of Revive Our Hearts. And I think that list would be helpful for anyone who wants to be effective for service in God's kingdom. To read the entire list of 10 marks of ministry, visit reviveourhearts.com and take a look at the transcript of today's program. We're reviewing these 10 marks of ministry as we celebrate 15 years on the air as a ministry. God has been so faithful during these years, but they haven't always been easy for Nancy. They've been a time of stretching and learning to become more teachable. She'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, we'll hear Bob Lapine from Family Life Today. He was instrumental in helping to launch Revive Our Hearts.
I was in the crowd at Moby Gymnasium on the campus of Colorado State University in Fort Collins in 1995 with the staff of Campus Crusade for Christ as Nancy came and spoke to our staff. And she starts to speak on the subject of brokenness. Many of you know that God, in that moment, sparked a move there among the staff of Campus Crusade of brokenness and confession and repentance, and the schedule got thrown out the window for a couple of days, and Moby Gym stayed open 24 hours for a couple of days as people continued to respond to what God did through Nancy's message that morning. And I went back to Dennis Rainey, and I said, we need to have her on the radio. Actually, we should play that message on Family Life Today. And so we did. At Thanksgiving that year, we played that brokenness message on Family Life Today. And then Nancy spoke 2 years later at the same gathering of Campus Crusade staff, and we did some interviews with her there. When you do an interview with somebody, what you find is that some people have a message that they can deliver, and then some people have a message that's in their heart. And in an interview, you really find out which is which, because you start asking them questions, and if you take them at all off script, you find out whether this is a life message or whether this is just something that they had written down some notes on and they can't go much further than that. And we've run into both kinds, you know? Well, what we found out in our interview with Nancy was that this was a deep and full well, and you could dip the bucket down just about anywhere and there'd be a bucket of water come up that was good water. And we said to each other and then to Nancy following that, you should be on radio. And actually, we had the conversation. We said, you know, we really think we're praying God will raise up somebody to take Elizabeth Elliott's place when the time is coming. And we know it's not here yet, but it's coming. And she said, I've been praying that too. And we said, well, we think it might be you. And she said, well, I haven't been praying that at all. That's exactly it. And 3 years later, Nancy was in Little Rock. I was in the first recording session, January of 2001, as we recorded that session on the desert and a session on Psalm 7, was it? Proverbs 7, the Proverbs 7 woman that some of you have heard on Revive Our Hearts. And I said to Nancy at the end of our first recording session, I said, you're going to get better. I said, but if it never gets better than it got today, you're already better than most of what's on Christian radio.
You know, so much of ministry is about letting God work in you first, so that what you're giving to others can be out of the overflow of a work of God in your own heart. And one of the, there were a couple areas where Bob kept really challenging me in terms of how I delivered, and it was stretching me in ways that I'd not had to communicate before, because radio is a much more personal medium, and I was used to getting up on platforms with big conferences, and I just loved, you know, fervently, earnestly declaring the word. But he kept encouraging me to remember that somebody who's listening to the radio is maybe in a van with three kids, or at their kitchen table, or doing other things, and that you don't want to be screaming at them all the time, and that you wanted to keep the intensity but make it much more conversational and relational. And this was such a huge stretch for me. And at points, I would just feel so, this is not me. I can't do this. You're good at this stuff, but that's not how I'm wired. And let me say, I was hugely encouraged, and I knew I was being really helped. But at points, at moments, I would feel like, we're trying to make me into something that I'm not. And I just don't think I can do this. And I remember going to church one Sunday, the day before we were recording the next day, Monday, and our pastor there in Little Rock was preaching through the book of Proverbs, and he took one whole message to just do a topical message in Proverbs on the humility of wisdom. And he just went verse after verse through the book of Proverbs about a wise person has a teachable spirit, a learner's heart is humble to reproof and correction, and God so convicted my heart that morning that this was not really an issue of whether I could do these things or should do these things. I just remember so clearly the Lord speaking to me through his word and saying, God has given Bob and others to you to develop and coach you. That's a gift. You need to receive the instruction and stop wrestling with it.
Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth has been reflecting on some of the early days of recording Revive Our Hearts as we celebrate 15 years on the air tomorrow, September 3rd. Nancy, I know listeners will be encouraged by your honest story of the way God has been teaching you over these 15 years.
I'm so grateful, Leslie, for the way that the Lord has been my strength moment by moment over these past 15 years when I have felt so weak. I'm also thankful for the team that he's given us to help carry the load, and for the listeners who support this ministry with their faithful prayer and their generous giving. This ministry simply would not have been possible apart from that kind of partnership. So if you appreciate how the Lord has used Revive Our Hearts in your life, would you pray for us as we enter into this next season of ministry? And would you consider supporting the ministry financially? The Lord has opened up some amazing opportunities for us in the months ahead, and your support will help make it possible for us to reach even more women with this message of revival and biblical womanhood. When you support the ministry with a gift of any size this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a booklet called The Lord's Prayer. It's a helpful devotional companion to this teaching series that we'll pick up again on Monday. As you go through this booklet, you'll read a one-page devotional each day that complements the teaching on the broadcast. It'll help you think about aspects of the Lord's Prayer in some fresh ways. You'll also read a scripture passage and find some questions that will help you make this material a deeper part of your life. Be sure and ask for the Lord's Prayer devotional when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any amount. The number to call is 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can go to our website, reviveourhearts.com, and make your donation there. And I want to say a huge thank you for supporting Revive Our Hearts as we launch into the next 15 years, or however long the Lord may have for us. And as we continue calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. On Monday, we'll pick up again with our in-depth series on the Lord's Prayer. Please be back with us for Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.